Requebre que eu dou um doce, requebre que eu quero ver. Requebre, meu bem, que eu trouxe um chinelo pra você. Requebre que eu dou um doce, requebre que eu quero ver. Requebre, meu bem, que eu trouxe.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Focus Brazil seminars take place all over the world, promoting Brazilian music, movies, culture, and the Portuguese language. It's become an annual forum for the most distinguished Brazilian leaders to address issues of interest to Brazilians abroad. This year, Pittsburgh joins the ranks of cities like Fort Lauderdale, London, and Tokyo in hosting Focus Brazil seminars, but with a focus on Pittsburgh's universities called U-Circuit. I'm joined now in Studio A by Kenya Ashby, a local coordinator of Focus Brazil, who is also a local Brazilian jazz vocalist whose work we just heard a bit of. Kenya Ashby, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much. I've got to switch hats now, right?
Yes.
No singing.
Well, you can sing. You can sing as much as you like. That was lovely. Also with us is Karen Goldman, Assistant Director of Outreach at the University of Pittsburgh Center for Latin American Studies. Karen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is ESSPGH@WESA.FM. You can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Let's begin with some questions for Kenya Ashby. First of all, explain to folks who've never heard of this, what is Focus Brazil?
Well, Focus Brazil is actually, it's a platform that has been an offshoot of a bigger event that is called the Brazilian International Press Awards. That has been taking place in Florida for the last 15 years or so. And Carlos Borges, who is the coordinator and producer of that event, decided that he really wanted to have a focus on the education and the teaching and learning of Portuguese, especially in that area. It used to be a very regional thing, and it has grown so much that in the last couple of years he has expanded it to bring it to London. It's going to be actually a third edition this year in London and in Tokyo as well. And these are obviously regions that have lots and lots of Brazilians and so on and so forth. So that's the focus of Brazilian culture and the teaching and learning of the Portuguese language.
And what are your hopes for this event?
My hopes are that we are going to make people really aware of the need, in fact, of more Portuguese speaking people in the region. Pennsylvania has a great relationship with Brazil. As a matter of fact, during the Focus Brazil weekend, the governor, Colbert, is actually visiting Brazil and Chile with a large group of businessmen and university people to establish even closer relationships with the two countries in business development and tourism and education. So I think that it's really the time for us to establish a good, solid Portuguese and Brazilian community here.
Do you run into a lot of people who mistakenly believe, for whatever reason, that Portuguese is not necessarily the first language of Brazil, that they assume or think that it's Spanish?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All the time. And that's why I think that it is really important that we do events like this, you know, is so that not that we don't like the Spanish language. I think it's beautiful. We all do. But yes, Brazil is very different from the Portuguese is very different from Spanish. And people do think, yes, that we speak Spanish.
What is it about Brazilian culture that produces so many great artists that promotes the arts?
Oh, thank you very much.
In the way, well, really, when you think about it, artists and athletes, you know, Pele, mm-hmm. of course, the greatest
yes.
soccer player ever is from Brazil.
Absolutely.
You have the great jazz vocalists, Brazil 66, which, you know, they reinvented themselves, I think, decade by decade for a while there.
Yes.
And vocalists like yourself and Lily Abreu. You know, what is it about Brazil that has created this proliferation of great artists and creative people?
It's in the water, really.
May I have some of yours. Okay.
Yeah, and that's part of, well, it's one of our focuses to bring bottled Brazilian water to Pittsburgh.
Okay, well, whatever's in there. Well, how did Pittsburgh come to have such a strong center for Latin American studies? Because people don't see Pittsburgh as having a large Latin American community.
Well, I would let Karen Goldman actually speak to the Center for Latin American Studies. She would be a lot more eloquent than I would in explaining the success of the program. But yes, it's really interesting how the Latino community is really kind of almost underground here, it seems like. Not anymore, because we are loud and we are getting louder. But good loud. You know,
and that is because we have more and more people of Brazilian descent here, or what is creating that?
Well, I think that a lot of what attracts Brazilians as well as other Latin American people here
can't be the climate. Can't be the climate.
Certainly not. Certainly not. A lot of Prozac, but certainly the universities here really attract a lot of people. You know, a lot of students and a lot of people come to the University of Pittsburgh for their medical center. They come here for research. They come here for, you know, their PhDs and what have you.
And this is, as I mentioned, the first time that this event is being held in
yes.
Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that people can look forward to happening? And this is next week.
Next weekend. Well, on Friday night, we will have a cinema, a movie by a great Brazilian writer, Jorge Amado, and produced by Nelson.
This will be Friday night, March 12th.
That will be on Friday night. And on Saturday, we'll be hosting panels all day. In the morning, the panels focus on the teaching and learning of the Portuguese language and a little bit of culture there. And in the afternoon, we're going to have a panel with events producers, the creator of Focus Brazil, and the other producers from South Florida that are doing cultural events here. And that event is actually, once we finish the panels, it's going to be sequeled awesomely by the Brazilian Festival that is really produced by the students of the University of Pittsburgh, their Brazil Nuts Club. And it's an awesome festival. This is, I believe, their 11th year. And I remember being there years ago and having 50 people there. And the last year, if I'm not mistaken, we had over 500 people there, you know, coming and going. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful event. So actually, Saturday, the April 13th, is Brazil Day in Pittsburgh. We have Focus Brazil all day. We have the Brazilian Festival from 5:30 or 6:30 to 9:30. And then after that, Carla Leininger is hosting Global Beats with a Movuca, a Brazilian theme too. So we are happening.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Kenya Ashby, yes. Local coordinator of Focus Brazil, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
And let's bring in Karen Goldman, Assistant Director of Outreach at the University of Pittsburgh. And I'll let you explain the academic focus that the University of Pittsburgh is putting into this.
Okay. Let me just say that I grew up in Pittsburgh, and when I grew up in Pittsburgh, you really could not find almost anybody that spoke Portuguese. And now, although we have a small community, it is growing very quickly. Portuguese is something you could hear on the streets these days in Pittsburgh. It happens to be moving into the seventh most spoken language in the world, and everybody knows that Brazil is emerging as a major player in the world scene. So we think it's very important, and in the Center for Latin American Studies, we've been working to help encourage the teaching of Portuguese for that long. The University of Pittsburgh actually has a full array of courses in Portuguese from beginning to advanced in literature and culture classes. We had 27 minors, students that minored in Portuguese last year. And we have a very active outreach program focusing on Brazilian studies and Portuguese language. One of the things you mentioned, Lily Abreu, before, she is somebody that wears many hats, and one of them is that she's been teaching Portuguese to the community through the Center for Latin American Studies for many years. And that can be, people that are interested can find information about those community courses on our website for the Center for Latin American Studies at Pitt. Another thing that she's been doing for us for the past 2 years is teaching a group of local K-12 educators to speak Portuguese. Just as a practical matter, we find it's difficult to find teachers of Portuguese in the United States. It's not a particularly well-represented language in modern language curricula. So we have taken a strategy. We have a program that's called Portuguese Language of the Future, and that program tries to recycle, basically, teachers of Spanish. Now, I don't want to say that Spanish people that speak Spanish can actually speak Portuguese, because nobody wants somebody speaking what we call portanhol, which is a mixture that uses either one not very well. And we've been trying to get these Spanish teachers for the past 2 years. They've been doing intensive during the summer and a regular Portuguese classes during the school year. And they've been learning Portuguese. We have teachers from the Pittsburgh Public School District, from some of the suburban school districts. And we have a group of 6 teachers this summer who we are actually sending to Brazil as kind of a capstone in this experience. And we hope that in the next few years, those same teachers will come back and begin to introduce Portuguese as a modern language in the school districts.
And there are practical reasons for wanting to learn it, if for no other reason than, as you said, Brazil is becoming a major player on the world stage. Brazil is hosting the World Cup of Soccer next summer, and in 2016, the Summer Olympics. So the timing for all of this might be pretty good.
Absolutely.
Let's welcome in Ron Alvarado, chairman of the Pittsburgh Metropolitan Area Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Ron, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
At the risk of being overly simplistic, what are the differences when it comes to the terms Hispanic and Latino?
Well, we had that conversation earlier. So they're really one and the same. I think if you look at Hispanic and translate it literally, the island of Hispaniola is where Haiti and the Dominican Republic reside today. And so you would take all of the Caribbean island nations, Puerto Rico, Cuba, and the other Latino American countries in the Caribbean. But Latino is the phrase that I think is more inclusive of all Latin American cultures, whether it's Brazil, Puerto Rico, España, Spain, Argentina, etc. So Latino is a more inclusive term today.
And where do Brazilians fit in with those terms?
They fit in great. Well, if you look at their rich music, their culture, and their success as a nation, you know, BRIC, the acronym BRIC obviously talks about the fastest growing economies in the world, B standing for Brazil. So Brazil is a major power. We have a very cohesive and strong Brazilian community in Pittsburgh and growing. And so it's a gem.
How big would you say that Pittsburgh's Latin American community is?
Well, you know, I look at the numbers, and so we had almost an 80% increase over the last census period, where right now we have approximately 20-plus thousand. So although we had an 80% increase over a 10-year span, it's still an increase over a small base. Right now, there's an initiative right now, the Latino Attraction Initiative, that's being spearheaded by the Pittsburgh Promise Organization to promote the region, our southwestern PA region, to other parts of the country. I mean, the Hispanic Latino population in the U.S. is the fastest growing segment of the population.
But we haven't seen that here in the Pittsburgh area. Why is that?
Well,
you see it more east of here in near Philadelphia, having lived in the Midwest, you see it in Iowa and Nebraska, but not here. Why?
It's interesting when we look at if we look at Allegheny County geographically and we match it up against Berks County. Berks County is on the eastern part of the state. Berks County is actually geographically smaller than Allegheny County, and they have 3 times the Hispanic population. When we look at the Pennsylvania as a whole, so Pennsylvania had a positive increase over the last census period that was driven specifically by the Latino immigrants. So we had over 300,000 new residents. So we're struggling to find out, well, what is it about Pittsburgh? Well, how can we attract? And from an economic development perspective, and that's where the Hispanic Chamber's role comes in, is we have to, as a region, really attract this fast-growing segment of the national population, because those are the workers and the workforce of tomorrow.
We've talked on our program about Pittsburgh's ability to attract young black professionals for school and to eventually stay to build careers. So how does Pittsburgh go about trying to draw young professional Latinos? You're aware of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you solve it?
Well, I think so part of the Latino Attraction Initiative, I think from my perspective, my suggestions have been to go after the low-hanging fruit. By that I mean, so let's take a look at the concentration of Latinos within the state of Pennsylvania, and we look at Berks County. So Berks County, Lancaster County, other eastern PA regions, if we go in and look at those regions, and demographically, I think they fit well for some of the segments that we have high growth in jobs. So the Pittsburgh Promise, by them taking the lead, obviously, if someone comes into this area, resides in the city of Pittsburgh, has school-age children, the advantages are multiple. Number one, they'll have the key factor from the Pittsburgh Promise perspective is now these kids will have guaranteed $40,000 each for their college education. If we look at the crime rate here relative to some of these other areas, it's a relatively low crime rate, and we have opportunities. So it's about packaging the area, all of the positive things that we have to offer, and going out to some of these areas that may not know Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, we've not done a great job of really promoting what we are. We have folks coming into the area who say, wow, I didn't know this was like this. You know, Pittsburgh is a beautiful city, America's most livable city. A lot of people don't know who we are.
What brought you here?
Do you have a violin?
No, but maybe we can,
yeah, let's get, some,
we can get Kenya to sing for us.
It's interesting. I came here in 1994, for business reasons, but it's one of the interesting things is that when I got here in 1994, the diversity of the area specific to the Latino community, it was almost non-existent. And I'm in the staffing business. I own a staffing company here, so I see the demand for talent. And back in 1994, I had one client that had a need for bilingual employees because they were a global company. They did a lot of work in Latin America. Today, we see a huge demand for bilingual talent. Why? You know, demographically, there's a couple of stats that come out. The first one that hit me very strongly was, and this came from the Census Bureau, that by the year 2050, 33% of the U.S. population will be of Hispanic origin. So one in three. And that's the demographers. It's not a guess. It's basically because of who we have here. It's a young population. We have a high birth rate, et cetera. So it makes sense that if you're selling products and services domestically and your largest target, the market is going to be primarily or hugely Latino, you have to focus on that. And so that's why I think the imperative, the Latino Attraction Initiative, is very important for our region, not only short but long term as well.
We have just a couple minutes left, but I would ask Karen, what's being done to improve retention for students at the Center for Latin American Studies?
Well, the Center for Latin American Studies functions as a national resource center. We're one of just a few in the country. So we have resources that come from the government, from Title VI funding, which we hope to keep in the future. And that allows us to promote study abroad, for example. Every year, the University of Pittsburgh sponsors a field trip to Brazil. We help to sponsor Portuguese classes. We have money that helps students do research on Brazil and in Brazil. To answer your question about retention, we're less involved in retention than we are in really getting students involved in learning deeply about Brazil. So we offer a certificate in Latin American studies, and we have a concentration in that certificate in Brazilian studies. And we have a large number of students that come both at the undergraduate and graduate level that may not have been involved in Brazilian studies before they got here. And they find that Pittsburgh actually is a city that promotes Brazilian studies, and the University of Pittsburgh very strong in Brazilian studies.
Well, sounds like a fascinating program, and obviously a lot of fun to be had next week as Brazil – as Focus Brazil 2013 gets underway in Pittsburgh. And that, again, is next week, next Thursday and Friday. I want to thank our guests.
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday. I beg your pardon. Thank you, Kenya. Karen Goldman, Assistant Director of Outreach at the University of Pittsburgh, and also Ron Alvarado, Chairman of the Pittsburgh Metropolitan Area Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Thank you both for being with us.
Thank you.
Coming up, business contributor Rebecca Harris discusses job opportunities for women and growth areas for entrepreneurs. When Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.